In the year 279 BC, Celts coming through the Balkans invaded Greece and then passed through to Turkey, establishing a new home for themselves in the center of Asia Minor. Before the rise of the Roman Empire, the single people in Europe who had the greatest extent geographically were the Celts, who at their peak stretched from Ireland to Turkey, from Spain to Poland, having distinct cultures and languages wherever they went. The Celts who eventually settled in central Turkey were from Gaul, and so they naturally named their new home Galatia. Galatia existed more or less as an independent kingdom made up of tetrarchies ruled by chieftains from the Celts until Mark Antony defeated Brutus and Cassius at Philippi during the Roman Civil War. One of the Roman generals then took charge of Galatia, and when he died, Octavian Augustus Caesar incorporated the province of Galatia as a province in the Roman Empire. And it was in that condition that the Apostle Paul came to Galatia during his second and third missionary journeys. Sometime after those visits, Paul wrote what is the ninth book in the New Testament, his letter to the Galatians. Please note that unlike Ephesians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Thessalonians, this letter is not written to the Christians in one city, Ephesus, Corinth, Thessalonica. Instead, it's written to all the Christians in a region. We're not sure exactly which towns and villages. Scholars argue over whether it was northern Galatia or southern Galatia, and therefore, at exactly from where and at what time Paul wrote. But whatever the answer to those minutiae, this much is certain. Paul wrote his letter to the Christians in Galatia because they were never Jews. Descendants of Celts, they were pagans, Gentiles, who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior on hearing Paul preach the gospel. And then later, after Paul's departure, other preachers arrived behind him, preaching a different doctrine. These men were usually described as Judaizers because it was their conviction that Gentiles who wanted to become Christians first had to become Jews. The men had to receive the mark of circumcision in order to share in the covenant. Men, women, and children alike had to be instructed in the law of Moses and learn to observe the 613 mitzvah of Torah. It was for this reason that Paul wrote his letter to the Galatians, to insist, to thunder, in fact, that this second group of preachers were heretics, preaching a false gospel which would lead the Christians in Galatia astray, and that they needed to understand this in order to adhere to the true thing. Remember that the first great division among Christians in the early church was over this very set of questions. As Christian missionaries dispersed from Jerusalem and the Holy Land and encountered Gentiles preaching the gospel to them, this question naturally arose. And in the Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 15, we read that all of the apostles gathered in Jerusalem to debate this question. They announced their findings, claiming the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and definitively settled this question for all time. Gentiles do not need to be Jews before they can be Christians. In fact, it would be a repudiation of the heart of the gospel if they attempted to be Jews first. And so, Paul is writing to the Galatians on this theme. Remember that we're reading from Galatians during the second lesson at Mass through July the 3rd. If you haven't done it yet, now is the time to read the whole letter. It's only about 5 pages in your Bible. See the great sweep of Paul's teaching on this central point. He writes, through faith, not observance of the law, through faith, you are all children of God. This was a revolutionary idea in the ancient world. Gentiles knew that they could be servants of God, or the gods. But the idea that they could be children of God, this is irrational, impossible. Until we read what comes next. Through faith, you are all children of God in Christ Jesus. We become sons in the Son. Because God the Son took our human nature, now all who are in Him, by the grace of adoption, become sharers in His divine sonship. Through faith, you are all children of God in Christ Jesus. How? For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. It is not the law of Moses that makes a man righteous or just before God. It is grace through faith communicated ordinarily in the sacraments, beginning with baptism, by which we are clothed with Christ, our white garments being a physical emblem of this interior transformation, so that the Father sees and loves in us what He sees and loves in His Son. For this reason, Paul continues, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, there is not male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now make no mistake, St. Paul was not a gender bender. He was not arguing here for unisex battles. The distinction between Jew and Greek, slave and free, male and female, was essential to his point that Christianity for Gentiles is not Judaism first for this reason. An observant Jew at this time began every morning in his prayers by thanking God that he was not a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. Because these three groups of people could not enter the temple to worship the living God. They could not hold the scrolls on which Torah was recorded. And for these reasons, they could not approach the summit of holiness. To be friends of God and servants of the living God by knowing, understanding, and keeping the law of Moses in its fullness. But now, because our righteousness is not found in observance of the law, now, because our righteousness is found only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, all have access to the holiness of God without these distinctions. And therefore, Paul concludes, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendant, heirs according to the promise. This is the essential point. It is now possible for the goyim, us, Gentiles, Greeks, non-Jews, to be children of Abraham and heirs of the promise made to Abraham. Because in Christ Jesus, when we are in Christ Jesus, we too are grafted on to the vine of Israel. The false preachers who sought to undermine Paul and teach a different doctrine argued that Paul had no authority to teach and didn't understand what he was teaching. They said he did not know the Lord Jesus. He did not hear Christ's preaching. And that is why Galatians opens, as we saw 2 weeks ago, with Paul explaining that yes, though he didn't know the Lord Jesus in this life, and that yes, he was a persecutor of the church, nonetheless, he did receive the gospel as a supernatural gift directly from the Savior when he met him on the Damascus Road. And that after 3 years in Arabia, years of prayer and preparation, only then did he go up to Jerusalem to confer with Cephas, that is Simon Peter, with James and John. And only then did he begin his missionary journeys to proclaim the good news of salvation. And what is that good news? That all who are baptized into Christ are clothed with Christ. And therefore, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendant and heirs according to the promise.